Welcome to Coding Basics and App Creation. In this session, we're going to learn what computers actually do. We're going to discover how a useful application fits together, take a look at a way in which you can actually make applications of your own, explore the insides of a working program, and finally, find out how real software is constructed. I'm not going to teach you how to program. We've only got an hour, but I am going to give you an understanding of how software fits together, and hopefully you'll walk away thinking, actually, there's no magic here. And that's what this course is all about. We're going to try and find out what goes on inside the computer, and this is the bit that I find most exciting, what you can do to actually make your own ideas have control of the machine. So let's start off with what do computers do. This is actually something you really have to get your head round, because computers are everywhere. Anything which has an electrical connection, it is powered by the mains or battery or whatever, will these days have a computer in it. The economics make it very sensible to put a computer in just about anything. Each of the lights you can see in this little matrix on the screen has got a computer inside it, which is deciding what color the LED should be. It's being given commands, it's being told to be red or blue or green or yellow, and so you're looking, although you might not guess, at 64 computers all sitting there together embedded in the light bulb. They're made that way because, quite frankly, there's no other way you could get 64 controllable light bulbs than by building a computer to just live inside each one. They are so cheap, they are so part of what we do and how we live, that computers are everywhere. That's nice, that's pervasive is a good word, but what do they actually do? Well, every computer that's ever been made does just one thing. It takes in some kind of data, it does something with it, and it sends the data out. Every computer you've ever seen in your life works exactly like this. And in fact, once you've got this, you can sort of play a little game where you can look at a given situation where a computer is being used, and you can try and figure out, okay, what's the data going in, what's the computer doing with that, and what's the data coming out. And once you're starting to do that, you're starting to turn into a real programmer, because you're starting to think, okay, that's what computers do. So in any given situation, if I have a problem which have got some data associated with it and I want some kind of an output, the computer in the middle just does the processing. If I'm controlling lights, then I have a whole bunch of colored lights here. Each of them is hanging off a little signal bus, and the computer which controls these lights, hey, another computer, who'd have thought, sends a sequence of ons and offs, a sequence of pulses that makes the first LED says, oh, I need to be blue. There's the first LED. The second LED, it then passes the signal to the second LED, who is also, sorry, first LED is red. I do apologize. Second LED is red, third LED is blue. They're all in a row. It's like you have a row of people standing in line waiting to be told what color they are in sequence, and when they've got their color, they pass the message to their friend, and so on and so on. So the designers of this have made it so you can control 64 lights and set their color using just one wire by sending signals down. The data going in is those pulses, the data coming out, and it really is data. It's the amount of red, the amount of green, and the amount of blue, but we see it as color, is actually the light display. So you have the idea that inside any given system, you have a computer. Here's a great one, the computer-controlled phone, the smartphone. You touch the screen, that sends signals to a sensor which is looking at the capacitance, the tiny changes in fields around your fingertips. The hardware can figure out where on the screen you've touched it. The software then gets told, hey, he's pressed the screen at the top left hand corner. The software goes, ah, yeah, there's a button behind there, that means I have to do something, and the LCD panel changes and the program does something different. The program itself, nice little program. Somebody figured out that Lego brick, Lego owners, Lego, wonderful stuff, everyone's got loads, but what if you're going to keep track of what you've got and what other sets there are out there? Wouldn't that be a neat thing to do? Well, somebody thought, yes, it would, and they wrote an app to do just that. The great thing about computers is if you can think of a problem which involves taking stuff in, doing something with it and pushing the values out, then the computer is a great way of dealing with that. And so you can take an idea. Somewhere must have been sitting in a room going, I've got all this Lego. I don't know what I've got. I can't keep track of my sets. I keep buying the same model twice because I didn't know I'd already got it. How do I sort that out? I write a program and put it in my phone. And now in that case, the guy will touch numbers on the screen to say which particular Lego set he's got, and the computer program will record that. So that's another example of data going in, the computer doing something, and data coming out. But the interesting thing about this one is that actually it's the kind of thing that you could quite reasonably think about making yourself. If you're into dolls, model aircraft, chickens, bananas, anything you want to keep track of, anything which can be made into data, and then you've got some kind of output you want to see, then that's where the computer gets to be a really, really interesting device. Computers these days inside phones have got an absolute ton of data streaming in. If you think about how a program in a computer works, it's not just taking your touches to tell it what to do, because it also pulls in signals from everything else around it. If you look at this little program here, which I use to find my way around Holland, I wanted to know a tram to get to the middle of the town, so my computer inside the phone said, okay, Rob wants to go to the station, so I'll find out where he is from the GPS. I'll pull up a map that will show him where he is on the map and where he wants to go. I'll then go into the transport data networks for Holland. I'll pull down the tram timetables. I'll figure out when the next tram is and when it's near to Rob. I'll use the compass so that he can then be pointing in the same direction when he's walking towards it, and he can plan his routes. So this computer program in here, it's a lot more complex than my little lights, but the task it's doing is exactly the same. It's taking stuff in, doing something with it, and producing outputs. And the great thing, and I'll keep mentioning this because I think it's very important, is that, yep, you could do that. You could be the person that makes the thing in the middle. If you think of a novel way of using compasses, maps, accelerometers to tell me how fast I'm moving and where I'm headed towards, if I lose my GPS signal, all that kind of stuff, if you can think of a novel way of using this stuff, there's all kinds of ways now that you can write a program that does that and sell it as an app to millions of people around the world. But I'm getting a bit ahead of myself. The point I want to make on this particular part of the session is that if you look here, then you've got stuff going in and stuff coming out, because that is what computers do. They don't do anything other than that. They don't have ideas. The secret sauce in the middle is the software. That's what makes the computer useful. If you haven't got any software in the machine, then what you've got is a device that makes the room get warmer and costs you a fortune in power bills. The software is the secret sauce that makes it do its stuff. It tells the computer, hey, I've got to get the position, I've got to get the map that matches that position. It actually does the processing. If you think of on the left you've got ingredients and on the right you've got a cake, the software is the recipe. That's exactly what it is. It tells the computer what to do with the inputs. We write the software. For me, that's the fun, that's the creative part. An artist will draw a nice picture and they'll feel good about it and they'll show their friends and their friends will say nice things. Me, I'll write a program, show my friends of it, and with a bit of luck they'll like it too. Writing software is just as creative as any kind of art, in my opinion. Making music, fine, that's good. I like music, it's good. Drawing pictures, that's fine. But software lets you be creative in ways that are way beyond, in my opinion, putting ideas down on paper or drawing things, because you can build everything around you. You can imagine a universe and you can put things in it. Think Minecraft. Think I get an idea to build something, I go off and make it. But think of it as your universe, not Minecraft universe. And you're getting an idea of kind of where we're going with this. Software makes the computer useful. Hardware without software is like a football stadium without anybody playing in it. It's just sitting there doing nothing. Put the guys on the pitch, get the action going, get things happening. That's when stuff gets really interesting. So software is the thing that makes the hardware actually do its stuff. And what I'm talking about in this little session is how software fits together, what software does, how it works, and this is the bit that I find most important, how you can think about making your software, building programs of your own. So we're going to take a break for some questions now. So have a look at them. See, exercise your brains. See if what I've said has in any way gone in. And I'll see you, as they say, after the break.